I do love Pastor Rashad. He is my blessing. I'm thankful for him. Yeah, we're starting a church in Franklin, Ohio, which is, it's about halfway between Cincinnati and Dayton. It's actually maybe a little more than halfway closer to Dayton, Ohio. And we've been so blessed. We are starting at a golf course, which really fits right up my alley. And we're in the upstairs, which actually is the main floor of the golf course. The clubhouse or the pro shop is underneath. So we are upstairs, and so I thought we should probably name it the upper room. That would make sense. And then because the pro shop is downstairs, I could be the man upstairs. Wouldn't that be awesome? The man upstairs. I thought that would get a little better reception there. Guess not. But we started Tuesday night with our first service. We're doing, up until Christmas Eve, we're doing what we're calling impact nights. And these are really a gentle way of introducing the idea of a new church to our community. And it's working. We've been doing a lot of things on Facebook to promote this and in other measures to promote the impact nights. You pray about that. We had 45 our first service and 20 or thereabout that I've never met before. So I praise God for that. And about 2 months ago, I began really hitting it hard on Facebook about, you know, introducing myself. Maybe many more months even before that, I began introducing myself to the community because we don't live there yet. And it's one of those communities where if you're not from there, they may not accept you, right? It's kind of cultural like that. And once you're in, but if you're not from there, you struggle. So I've just been going in and introducing myself different places and I've been doing this thing on Facebook I call Pastor Mike's Good News for Franklin. Been doing this for a long time. And every day, at least once, I'll post Pastor Mike's Good News to Franklin. And usually not even anything biblically oriented, but just good news, just some encouragement, and just making a lot of friends. And I will get dozens of responses. Now, this is on the Franklin page, right? Most communities have some sort of a gossip page or yard sale sites or whatever. And I've been getting dozens every day of if nothing more just than likes, you know, press the like button. And then in the evening, what I'll do is, just before bed, I'll go back into those posts, and with the click of a button, as you know, I can make all these people my friend. That's the only way I can get people to be my friend is through the click of a button. But I'll request their friendship, and I've literally, over the last few months, formed, and I know they're cyberspace relationships, but now I'll go in with these new friends, and I will ask them privately, you know, how can I pray for you? And it's amazing. I was in the area maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. Melissa and I were. We do date night every Friday night, and we go into Franklin for date night. And I was talking to this one lady, had nothing to, my being there had nothing to do with church. And she says, "Hold on a second, you're starting a church here in Franklin." I was like, "Yes, it works, amen." People are recognizing me, or the idea of a church. And then a few weeks ago, we were doing the doorknob hangers, right, the door hangers, and we had a couple of teams from our sending church, which is just minutes down the road from us, and we were in Franklin, we're doing the door hangers, and my wife and I, maybe a couple of weeks before that, we had been at the local pizza joint eating, because that's what you do at the pizza joints, you eat, and this is one of those crazy, off-the-hook, just totally bizarre experiences at a restaurant where they're throwing the dough around. It's a show. There must have been 20 people back there. It's a crazy place to eat and fantastic food. And the owner contacts me while we're doing the door hangers. I've yet to meet him to this day. He contacts me and he says, "Is it true that you guys are passing out the door hangers?" I thought, "Oh no, where did my people go? They're harassing people or something." And he said, "No." He said, "I want you to bring a fat stack of those by the pizza place, by the shop, I think 800 or so of these invites, and he said, we're going to put them on every pizza box as they go out into the community. Isn't that great? I praise God. That's so neat. You know, those are boots on the ground there that only come by the favor of God, right? And the Lord says, I'm going to do some of this work for you. And so we had 45 at our first service. A number of people came from our sending church, as I said a moment ago, that came and helped us out, and then a good number from the community that we've never met. And so I'm doing something I haven't done in a few years, and that's send out thank you cards and go and visit people that come to our church. It's been a few years since I've been pastoring, so I'm so grateful for that. You pray for us. We see big things happening. North Grace Baptist Church in Franklin, Ohio, every Tuesday night. You're not too far. You're only like 2.5 hours, so come on out. And we'll have a great time. You laugh. You know, I drove 2.5 hours. Why can't you drive 2.5 hours? She slept the whole time, and I sipped on coffee. All right. Romans chapter number 8. If you're familiar with this text in any way, then it's likely that you read this chapter in particular, and then you make one of two choices. Either you skip through it very, very quickly because it can be overwhelming, this chapter, and the next two chapters, in fact, or you find yourself stuck here and you just gotta know more about the sovereignty of God. The debate, or the discussion, I should say, over the sovereignty of God has severed churches, created multiple denominations, severed friendships. But the sovereignty of God is really meant to bring us closer together and bring us closer to Him into the deeper things of God. Coupled with the thought of the sovereignty of God, meaning that God is in full control. By the way, He's in control of Irma and Harvey and wildfires. You hear that? And it's an amazing thing. I saw a video last night, and here you see Irma moving in via video and satellite. And we long to see the hand of God. But sometimes that's what the hand of God looks like. And we need to know that because we have little Irmas in our life called layoffs. And situations that happen in our life that are unexpected. And we want to see the hand of God, but what if I were to tell you this morning that that is the hand of God? And it's an interesting dichotomy within our spirit that we long to see the hand of God, and yet at the same time, sometimes we see the hand of God and beg for the mercy of God at the same time. I want to see your hand, but God, I need to see your mercy because your hand is overwhelming. And everything that God does is overwhelming. I want to park there for just a moment and say, somebody told me recently, they said, I just can't believe the Bible because the stories in the Bible are just so far-fetched. I want you to know that every time God introduces Himself into your situation, it becomes far-fetched. If what He does is not far-fetched, then it is not He that is doing it. He is far-fetched. He's unbelievable. He is too much for us in the flesh. And so we get to texts like this in verse 29. We're only going to read one verse. And coupled in this one verse, which is a close kin to the sovereignty of God in depthness, if you will. So it's not enough that we come to chapters like this and we see and are confronted with doctrines that take us either away from God based upon our spiritual level or closer into a deeper, more profound relationship with God. But then coupled with that is another doctrine, another teaching on being the image of Christ. So we are the image of Christ. And I want to speak to you this morning on that. So Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Paul wrote here and he said, for whom he, God, did foreknow, he did predestinate, now watch this, to be conformed to the image of His Son. You and I are the image of God's Son. Will you pray with me? Father, in Christ's name, Lord, would you bring us into a reality this morning that we are more than just saved, as if that were not enough. And we are more than just Your children, which in and of itself is overwhelming. But that we are the image of Your Son. That we are ambassadors to this world. And we're thankful, God, that You are in control and You're sovereign. And while we can't quite understand it, we believe it and we agree with it. And it's really too much for us to understand and comprehend, Lord, that God, that You are creating us and conforming us into the image of Your Son. But we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. There are three personalities of God that you and I, being conformed into His image, take upon ourselves. Those three personalities are prophet, priest, and king. We read about this, the prophet in Deuteronomy chapter 18. We read about the priest in Psalm chapter 110. And we read about king in Psalm chapter number 2. Now, there's only one who is fully, completely, 100% holy prophet, priest, and king. And that is Jesus. He is prophet, priest, and king. And these speak to the nature of Christ in God and in the Spirit. These are the personalities of Christ. Now, every one of us in here have a personality. That's why we are persons. We have personalities, and they're individual. They're very unique. There's no two people in here that are alike. We might look alike, dress alike, go to the same places, worship alike. But within our personalities, we're all different. And that's what makes this teaching so difficult, is because Jesus, Hebrews 13:8, is always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And yet His personality is seen in prophet, priest, and king. So I want you to get this by way of introduction this morning, that when the Bible says that here in Romans that you and I are being conformed into His image, what it's saying is that we are taking on, as we grow in Christ, the personalities of Christ. We will never be fully prophet, priest, and king, but within our spirit, within our makeup, within our personality, you and I have those personalities that, when developed, began to be seen and utilized in the kingdom and in the church. Now, none of us are prophet, none of us are priest, and none of us are king. I'm talking about personalities. So I don't want anyone leaving today, getting on Facebook and saying, Mike said he's prophet, priest, and king. And you know what happens when you're prophet, priest, and king is you usually get crucified. That's what happened to Jesus. And I'm not looking forward to that. I don't want to taste that kind of death. But our personalities, and that's what I really want you to get you to understand, is that our personalities, our makeup, and now as God is conforming us into the image of His Son, we develop these personalities in our life. Jesus, as prophet, He was bold. Jesus, as prophet, He called out sin. That's what He did as a prophet. So Jesus, living on this planet in the form of man, He was bold and He called out sin. He was a prophet. As a prophet, Jesus was fearless. And he took on the enemy with great courage. He was prophet, right? He was fearless. The Bible says He was angry like a prophet. He was angry and yet without sin. He was prophet. We know of one occasion that as prophet, you can kind of you can kind of see that personality when we think of Prophet, this bold, fearless man. On one occasion, he went into the temple and he turned over the tables. You do that as Prophet. You see that personality. And then also, as Prophet, one of the characteristics is that he ministered to large groups. Jesus ministered to large numbers of people. 5,000 plus women and children as he fed them loaves of bread and fishes. So Jesus was Prophet. Not only was he Prophet, but he was priest. And as priest, he was able to switch to the gear from Prophet, where that he was bold and he was outspoken and he was strong. As priest, he was kind and he was gentle. As priest, he was compassionate. He was interested in the lives of people, and he invested in people as priest. The Bible speaks of Jesus as priest and says that he was a counselor and he was a comforter. The Spirit of God working in Jesus here on earth. He was a friend. As prophet, you wouldn't have thought of him as friend. You would have said, oh no, here he comes. He's the prophet. But as priest, when he walks into the room, you melt because of his friendship. He was, as priest, he was considered of others. And whereas as prophet, he ministered to large groups, as a priest, he ministered to individuals. Jesus would have, in our day, spent lots of time in hospital rooms and bedsides and coffee tables and counseling rooms. And being a friend. Not only as prophet did he minister to large groups, but as priest he ministered to individuals. And as king, we see this trifold personality of Christ, prophet, priest, and king. As king, he was in full control. Everything that happened to him while he was here on earth, he knew about it in advance. In fact, however that only God can do, he orchestrated it to take place. And he was in full control. How many times that they came to get Jesus, and the Bible says he vanished out of their midst. That's got to be fun. You know, just to know that they're coming and to say, but you can't touch me if I don't allow you to, because I'm king. I'm sovereign. I'm in control. As king, he was a leader, and people followed him wherever that he went. He was king, prophet, priest, and king. He gave guidance as a king, and he built a kingdom, and is building a kingdom as a king. Now you say, now how does that apply to the church? How does that apply to me? You and I were created in the image of God, which is to say that we were created to take on the likeness and the personality of Christ. Again, I have to reiterate that we are not prophet, priest, and king, but because we have taken on the image of Christ through salvation and now being conformed even more so into his image, we are taking on these personalities. And every one of us, within us, we have birthed within us prophet, priest, or king. And some of you, you're more like a prophet. You're outspoken in the workplace and in the community. Nothing bothers you. You go into the community, you go into the workplace, you go into the workplace and they make a rule or they design something that doesn't look like your life as a Christian, doesn't bother you to speak out against it. Some of you, you just can't do that. I mean, it's just not within your nature. It's not because you're a coward, it's because you're not a prophet. And pastors need to get this as well, because so often a pastor will stand up here and want everyone to be like him. And everyone needs to knock on doors, and everyone needs to evangelize in the community, and everyone needs to be bold. But can I tell you, that's not everyone's personality. Not everyone in here is a prophet. There's some of you who are here this morning who are more like a priest. And you see someone who is in need, and it just causes you to melt, and you can't get over it. You can't think about anything else until you see that that need is met. You're a priest. While you may not be out in the community evangelizing and knocking on doors and shoving the gospel down people's throats, which isn't the worst thing in the world. I've tasted worse things. But man, you're on the altar weeping over people because you're a priest. And you care about people and you pray about people, especially those in the church, and you wonder about them and you care about them because you're a priest. And then there are some in the church who are more like a king. You have authority. It's within you. And you're take charge. And you know how to lead groups. You know how to make order and create order and direct order in the church. And then there are at times where that you're not a prophet, but God just, through the Spirit, just gives you an unction of the Holy Spirit and gives you the words to say, and then you look back and say, I don't know how in the world I did that because I am not a prophet. But somehow or another, right there when I least expected it, God said, speak to this person. I spoke to them, and it changed their life. It's like, wow, that kind of felt pretty good, and I hope he never does it again because I was scared to death. And then there are some of you guys and gals who are just so tough. You're like a prophet. I mean, there wasn't a priest around. And the Lord said, I want you to pray with that person. And you stuttered your way through it. But man, it spoke to them. They said, man, I thought he was a prophet. But man, when I needed him the most, he became a priest. And it was just a gift of God because you're being conformed into his image. I mean, you've never led anything in your life. The only thing you led in your life was the food line at the fellowship, the church fellowship, right? You haven't led any, but when there wasn't a leader around, the Holy Spirit, just an unction of the Holy Spirit. I love those tugs, and the Holy Spirit just tugs on you and says, you're gonna lead this small group. You're like, I don't know that I can do this. I mean, I'm not a king. No, I'm creating you. I'm conforming you into the image of his son. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed into the image of his son. Here's what you need to know. Your being born again was purposed in the heart of God to give you a new identity. Watch this. Get this. You are a new creature in Christ. Amen? Praise God. And the image of God, ooh, this is so good, listen to this. The image of God is not an adjective that describes you, but it's a noun that defines you. You're not saying, well, one day I'm going to be the image of God. I'm just going to keep at it, and I'm going to keep doing this, I'm going to keep doing. No, it's not about doing, it's about being. You are the image of Christ. Do you get that? See how that changes the whole dynamic of your walk and your relationship with Christ? When you come to church and for years you've been trying to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to take this class, I'm going to read this post, and I'm going to take every small group that I can, because one of these days I'm really going to get this thing. You need to settle it in your heart right now. You already are the image of God's Son. So on the day that you were born again, ooh, I love this right here. On the day that you were born again, for me, it was in the summer of 1988 in a beach house in South Carolina, having no intentions whatsoever to hear the gospel and to trust Jesus, and he saved me. And then 3 days later, baptized in the Atlantic Ocean about midnight. and I was 17 years old. I was actually shorter than I am right now. I know that's hard to believe, but I was born at a very young age, and I was short then too, and then I just didn't really evolve correctly like most people do. And I was always backward and bashful and never had a girlfriend and was scared to death of everything coming and going. But I was saved, and the moment that I was saved, God put within me and birthed within me the Holy Spirit. And I didn't evolve into the image of God. At that moment, I became the image of Christ. And I didn't even know it. I had never read a Bible verse. I certainly hadn't memorized any verses. And that was the image of Christ. And I think about that. You cannot but be humbled to know, when you know that the moment that you were born again, you were born of the Holy Spirit. And you now have the Holy Spirit residing in you, living. He's living in you. So if you're saved on one day, and you are, you're born again in an instant, you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and you become the image of God. But you're not only the image of God, you are being conformed into the image of God. So the longer that you are saved and the longer that He allows you to live on this planet, the more time that He gives you to invest into the things of God, the Word of God, the church of God, the people of God. And in this, He is even more so conforming you into His image. So if that was almost 30 years ago, I'm 46. Almost 30 years ago, I was born again, and I can tell you what surprises me so much about nearly 30 years of salvation. And I say this with humility. What surprises me so much is that I am not more of the image of Christ than I thought that I would be. I know I came out of that beach house in Myrtle Beach on fire for God, weeping like a baby, humbled that He would save me. It wasn't about hell. It wasn't about heaven. It was just the fact that He did everything necessary for me to know God. And I thought for sure 30 years later that I'd be more sanctified than I am right now. And I am so disappointed. But listen, if God lets you stay on this planet 30 years after you're saved, it's because He wants to create you, conform within you even more so His image, to serve Him and to make known the glory of God. So the image of Christ in you is not an adjective that describes you, but it's the noun that defines you. Now, how does He conform us into His image, the image of His Son? It's a two-part process, and I'll do this quickly and move on. First of all, there's this thing called justification. It's a legal term. So we get our word justice. It's a legal term, justification. Justification is the one time, watch this, justification is the one-time act of God on your behalf and for His glory that takes place the very moment that He brings you into His family. You are justified. And you can't really explain it. It's just that you are no longer guilty. You are to blame, but you're no longer guilty. The price has been paid. You accept that, and you are now justified in the sight of God. He sees you now as the image of His Son. And can I tell you, what an embarrassment that it was on the day that I got saved, that God would look down and say, "This is the image of my Son." I'm like, well, that's not much of an image. Oh, my goodness. But He says, not only are you justified, but I am sanctifying you. So there's justification and sanctification. Justification is the one-time act of God on your behalf and for His glory that takes place at the moment that you are saved. You are justified, and you are the image of Christ. And then to eternity, you are sanctified. Sanctification is the ongoing act of God on your behalf, because you couldn't do it on your own, and for His glory. It's His daily cleansing of you. Every day He is cleansing you. I got to tell you, that brings a smile to my face, as you can see, because I need all the help that I can get. On my own, I would never even dream of cleansing my soul. I love Him because He first loved me. He wooed me. He drew me to Himself through the Holy Spirit, through the gospel. And now that I'm saved, He's allowing me, and it's not an option, by the way. He is conforming me into His image, and I get to take part in this through daily Bible reading and through prayer and through fellowship and through using gifts that God has given me and being the prophet or the priest or the king as he is building this characteristic, these characteristics within me. But I want you to know that in this twofold process, God is conforming you into the image of his son. He has conformed you into the image of his son through justification, and he's conforming you into the image of his son through sanctification. What a beautiful thought. As prophets, we're bold. It's hard to be my size and this good looking and be bold. Because no one's expecting it. You talk about it, always catches people by surprise. As prophets, we're bold. As prophets, we call out sin. As prophets and parents, as parent prophets, we got to call out sin in our homes. And I know we're afraid to do that because we want our children to relate to us. We want them to always want to come to us. But can I tell you, nobody wants to go to the prophet. But God's creating you or conforming you into his image. And part of that is for you to call out sin even in your own home. May I say, especially in your own home. And it's in this prophet characteristic that God says, I know that's not you, but I've given you children. And so I'm birthing this within you. I'm going to make it happen. And then your children look back and they say, I didn't like it when mom and dad was prophet, but man, I needed that. Because if you aren't, who is? This world is not going to call out sin. As prophet, we're fearless, angry, yet without sin, Lord willing. We're not pushing over tables, but we're not pushovers either. You see that? So we're in the workplace, and we're going to stand up for who we are as Christ. And in the community, we're going to stand up for the things of Christ, even though it's not our nature to do so, but he's conforming you into his image, and he, through the Spirit, gives you the unction of the Holy Spirit to do that. As prophets, we're likely to minister to large groups. But there's a hindrance to being a prophet, and that is, well, I'm afraid of the group. I don't want to do that. God, I just don't want to do that. I don't want to be prophet. But somehow or another, the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to do so. Some of you are prophets. Then as priests, we're kind. As priests, we're compassionate. We invest in the lives of others. You say, I'll never preach. Well, invest in the life of the person who's sitting near you. Be a priest. We're counselors, we're friendly, we're considerate of others. And generally speaking, we're going to minister to individuals. I thought about this recently before I move on. As prophet, he would speak to individuals. And some of the greatest, most popular verses in the Bible were spoken to one person. Right? We're like, no, Jesus was prophet. He preached to the multitudes, but I don't remember any of those sermons. But when Jesus met with Nicodemus in the dark at night by himself and said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We don't always remember the prophets, but you won't forget a priest who was there for you when you needed him or her the most. And then there's king. By the way, one of the difficulties, one of the hindrances to becoming a priest, ministering to the individual, is that you like the limelight too much. You can't desire to be a prophet when God's calling you to be a priest. As kings, we take control of situations. We lead people to be greater followers of Christ. We guide and we instruct. But the difficulty or the hindrance of being a king here on earth is that we become too kingdom-minded instead of kingdom-minded. You will never be a king in the kingdom until you become kingdom-minded. But when you're kingdom-minded and your focus is always on obtaining and getting the promotion and being seen in the community and rising above and accomplishing great things, and that's your focus, more often than not, no one sees the king. He's in the background giving instruction. I want to close with this thought. You are never called to the service of the king or his kingdom apart from the Holy Spirit of Christ. And God this morning desires for someone to realize that you are the image of Christ, and that alone, through the Holy Spirit, will change your walk. You need to stop trying to be the image of Christ. You've got to just turn it over to this great reality that you are the image of Christ. And so our objective is not to fill our time with kingdom work, but rather to fill our time with the King and just be about His business. Could be this morning that someone is trying too hard, and you want to dress the part and act the part, walk the part, and you're taking every class and you're reading every book and you're following every new preacher that comes along, and then you're carried away by every wind and wave of doctrine, and the Lord just wants to speak to someone right this morning, right now, and just say, I love you, and I love you so much that I'm doing a thing in you. I'm conforming you into the image of my Son. Not to the image of Josh or Mike or Rashad. I'm conforming you into the image of my Son. Would you stand to your feet with me? I'm going to ask our musicians if they would come this morning. How humbling is it to know that we are saved, as if that weren't enough, but that when God looks at us, He sees His Son. And He sees us differently than how you and I see us. We have flaws, and we have scars, and we have wounds. Just this morning, Melissa said to me, she said, we got to get that thing checked out. I'm going to tell you what that thing is. Have you ever noticed how that you and I, we look in the mirror, we don't see those things, whatever that thing is, somebody else sees it. And we're like, well, I just see this. I mean, we just kind of get used to growing old. We just kind of get used to who we are. And then Melissa says, we're going to get that thing checked out. Do you know when God sees us, He sees us through the blood of His Son. God sees me, the image of Christ. Here's what I want you to know. That if you're not born again this morning, if you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, His desire is to look from heaven through the blood of His Son and see you like Jesus. The day is coming when we'll all stand, or should I say fall, before God. And to those who He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, He will see the blood of Jesus that washes away every sin. But to those who did not receive Christ as Savior, He will not see the blood of Jesus. And it's my prayer this morning that even today, even right now, that you here right now would call out to Christ, because He wants to be conformed. He wants you to be conformed to the image of His Son. Would you pray with me? Father, it's enough that we would be saved, that you would call us into your service. It's enough that you would humble yourself, take upon you the likeness of sinful flesh, just like us, yet without sin, and became obedient to the cross, our cross, that put you to shame, and you took upon us, or took upon you our shame, and then you saved us and you redeemed us. It's enough. But oh, how it humbles us this morning to not only know that we are saved and that we are going to heaven someday, but while here, we get to go through this process of being conformed into the image of your Son. Father, we thank you for that. Father, would you forgive us for sin that hinders this conforming process? God, would you cleanse us from all unrighteousness so that through this cleansing process, this sanctification, this conforming that you are doing in our life, that we could bring you glory, not only in heaven, but here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. If you'd like any more information on Church on the Rock, please visit our website at www.churchontherockbb.com.